The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, that when it is sown in the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds of the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Okay, tiny little thought for you here today. You might find this interesting. I heard about a plant recently. Chinese bamboo. Okay, now you might find this interesting. Chinese bamboo grows to a height of 90 feet. Just for reference, that's like double the height of our bell tower. Okay, 90 feet. However, before it grows, in fact, before it even sprouts, the grower has to water and fertilize and care for the seed on a daily basis for 5 years. 5 years, every day, fertilizing, watering, without the slightest idea whether his efforts are making a difference, whether the plant is alive or dead. But then, after 5 solid years, it sprouts. And it grows to a height of 90 feet in 6 weeks. Sometimes I think if Jesus had come from China, he would have told us the parable of the Chinese bamboo. Okay? Here's something else you might find interesting. You ever heard this psalm response? You ever heard this psalm before where it says, "Your wife will be like a fruitful vine, your children will be like olive plants around your table." You ever heard that before? You go to daily mass, you know, you'll hear it at Psalm 128. Okay? Now, I always thought that that was just a lovely Jewish, Semitic, Middle Eastern metaphor. Your children will be like olive plants around your table. Until I discovered that in the Middle East, before an olive plant will produce its first olive, you have to care for it for 12 to 18 years. That's why your children are like olive plants around your table, okay? And it's as if we need to rethink these words that St. Paul said to the Hebrews here in our first reading. You need endurance to do the will of God and to receive what he has promised. You know, it's like we need to remember again and again what our Lord said here in the gospel. This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It's like a man scatters the seed on the land, and he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. That's the way the spiritual life is. That's the way your spiritual effectiveness on other people, your family, the world, the church, is. Our Lord does not seem to care very much for progress reports or status updates. Instead, he asks of us a confidence that he is always at work in hiddenness, in secret, as if below the surface, as if like roots of a plant that are taking root and growing. That's the place where prayer and sacrifice are operative. That is the place where minds and hearts are changed. And we need to have this confidence that no good work is without its good result. That no prayer, that no sacrifice fails to bear fruit. It's why we need to remember the words of Mother Teresa, that we are to be faithful and not successful. The spiritual life is the opposite of every other struggle in the world. You can't have a planning report or a 10-year projection or a mission statement. It's the opposite of what we might think. It's by falling that we rise. It's by dying that we grow. And it's by trusting, even when things appear to make no difference whatsoever, that our Lord is building his greatest promise. You know, it makes me remember the days of the Roman persecutions. We often forget. The church lived in bloody persecution and daily martyrdom for 300 years. And then one day, it all just stopped. Edict of Milan, 313 AD. But you know, nobody saw that coming. Just imagine 300 years. Like, you know, imagine daily martyrdom since like about 1719. That's what the ancient church lived with. And then one day, it all just stopped. Do you want to know what? The reason why everything changed was because of every last drop of blood shed by every martyr in faith, every prayer offered to God in confidence in the face of hopelessness, worked like a root growing beneath the surface of the earth in silence and in hiddenness. Your Lord was always at work. We Christians profess without apology that what we hope for is not here. We're hoping for something that our Lord has promised, and in that promise, we find joy. It's why we need to say these words that we said in our first reading again and again. You might want to go back and review them. Do not throw away your confidence. It will have great recompense. We are not among those who draw back and perish, but we are among those who have faith and will possess life. Amen.